Lord be with you.
And also be with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Today is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. The Pentecost season is rather long, and it's one of my favorite seasons, though, because it's time where you can kind of get to do things and just do your routine. But it's a great time. Coming to an end, though. And we remember that again today in the message, and especially from Matthew 25. But today is also a special day because we get to get a foretaste of the feast to come with the Lord's Supper, which is a wonderful thing, a wonderful way that we receive God's forgiveness and also confess with one another the faith that we all share. So we do that today. I don't have anything else to let you know about. So let's begin with our first hymn found on our first page. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the introit from Psalm 70. We'll speak responsibly. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let them be put to shame and confusion, who speak my lie.
Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor, who desire my hurt.
Let them turn back because of their shame, who say, aha, aha.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God.
You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay.
We continue with the Kyrie. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son to lead home his bride, the Church, that with all company of redeemed, we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading. Our Old Testament reading comes from Amos chapter 5. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. It is not the day of the Lord, darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it. I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of a trumpet, of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia verse. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue on page 6 to confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We sing our hymn, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything comes to an end. That's just a fact of life. Eventually, things come to an end. Your time at work will eventually end. The day will come to a close. Driving across country to meet with family members will eventually end. Halloween has come and gone. Even worship service will end so that you can see the game. Thanksgiving is 2.5 weeks away. And 2020 eventually will be over. There are those times that they feel like they'll never end. This pandemic, wearing these masks, seem to go on and on. Even the election feels like it will never end. But eventually, and with time, it will come to an end. Even the church here recognizes that. We're closing out what the church calls the church year. Our text from scriptures kind of coincide with the end of the church year and reflect for us the end times. They inform us what to expect and what Jesus has to say and what God is doing. So this week and over the next 2 weeks, the readings will be speaking in some way concerning the eschaton, right? Until we reach that last Sunday of the church year. Even the church recognizes that there is an end. Our section in Matthew, Jesus is talking about the end of the age. And we need to remember, even for the church, that there is an end. And in chapter 24, the chapter before our section today, Jesus brings up the subject from the Pharisees. As Matthew moves the story from Jesus talking about the end times, the end of the age, he goes into this unknowable day, this unknowable hour, when the end will come, when the final judgment will be here. And in chapter 25, Jesus gives us more illustration of what that will look like through a couple of parables. Parables about the end. And so the parable of the 10 virgins, the 10 bridesmaids, whatever you want to call it, with their lamps, should be understood in this way. At the end is coming. The 10 virgins wait for the bridegroom to arrive. So they prepare themselves. They grab their lamps. And they apparently are meant to serve some purpose for the bridegroom's arrival. We don't understand completely what the marriage rites and ceremonies were, but they grab their lamps so that they can wait for his arrival, because that's what they need for his arrival. But we're not entirely sure what they're all used for. The lamps, you might notice, they're on the front of your bulletin. That's kind of probably the ones. I have one here, actually. It's kind of like these. It's probably the ones they used. Torches are also suggested, but those burn too quickly. If you'll notice the one on the front of your bulletin, that you can see where a wick would go, and then the reservoir for where you put the oil in. It helps sort burns for a long time. And the 10 virgins will definitely need it to burn for a long time because they wait for quite a while. With their lamps in hand, Jesus tells us that there are 5 wise virgins, wise bridesmaids who bring extra oil, an extra flask of oil, and 5 foolish ones who just bring what they have. The bridegroom is unexpectedly delayed. And so as the 10 virgins hold on to a bit longer, they grow weary and tired and they fall asleep. And then it's during the middle of the night, they heard a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him." And the 10 bridesmaids awake and prepare themselves. And apparently the lamps had run out of oil, they're about to go out. And the 5 wise ones, the 5 wise bridesmaids are able to refill theirs, but the 5 foolish ones are unable to. And so they ask the wise ones, "Could you share the oil so that because we have run out?" And the 5 wise ones apparently realize that there's not going to be enough for any of them. And so no one would be prepared. No one will have the right lamp. And so they tell the foolish ones to go to the market, to the dealers, and get their own wine. While the 5 fools were going to receive their own wine or oil, the bridegroom arrives. And those who were ready to meet him went in to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And then those five foolish ones returned saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But the answer he gave was not what they wanted to hear. Truly I say to you, I do not know you. And then Jesus ends with this warning, watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour. It's a chilling telling of the end. So many questions run through our mind, and we're not sure what to make of it. Why did the five wise bridesmaids not spread the oil around and share? What does each part supposed to mean for the end times and for us when the end comes? And what is the oil supposed to represent? What are we to do, and how are we to be included among the five wise virgins? Well, we know the fact that the wise virgins, why they did not share with the foolish ones, should not be understood as being cruel, even though it may seem that way. The perspective is needed that the bridegroom is the whole reason that they are waiting. So what matters most is meeting the bridegroom with appropriate celebration, and nothing can be allowed to put that in jeopardy. The point is to honor the groom and what he has done to honor his arrival. The wise virgins cannot give away what does not belong to them. The oil is for the groom, not for themselves. They came prepared, and the fools did not. So we shouldn't think of what's going on wrong there. And we don't know all the details, the history of the marriage rites, or the meaning behind every little thing, though people have tried to make the connection with the metaphor to different things. At the end of the day, the parable of the 10 virgins, of the 10 bridesmaids, is a parable about the arrival of the bridegroom and about how, when he arrived, some were ready for him and some were not. Where is the God who opens a window when the door closes? The fact of the matter is that there is an end. There's a time that is coming when all things will come to an end. And yes, we look forward to seeing the end of COVID's impact, for the stresses and anxiety of the election season to end and what follows to end. We're ready to be done with a long project, ready for difficult circumstances and situations that we have no control over, just to end so that we can move on. And yet there are times when we are just ready for things to be over. But there are those moments that we would rather not think about. Those times when we know what will end, and we would rather turn and busy ourselves with something else. Because the truth is that you and I, there'll come a day when we will celebrate our last Thanksgiving. We will celebrate our last Christmas, our last Easter. We will have to celebrate our last birthday. We will work our last day, and we will say, I love you one last time. The race will end. The running will stop. It'll all come to an end eventually. And so this time of year, we have to remember and realize that things do come to an end. And that is incredibly uncomfortable to think about. We would rather avoid it because there are good things we do not want to end. There are people we don't want to see go. There are celebrations we don't want to stop. But we must take the time to realize and know that things do end, even if it frightens and scares us. Because if we do not take a moment or remember or realize that things will end, then we just might be the foolish virgins who were not ready. When things end, they are usually unexpected. When the end comes and we're not ready, if we are out of oil and our lamps are extinguished, when the bridegroom arrives, then the Lord might say, I don't know you. And so we come here again, not to be frightened by the end. Though we pray that the Lord welcomes us and that Jesus will come, but the trouble with the end is that the opportunity to trust and believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you to forgive you, renew you, and set you right will end. You either believe or you don't. But we come here so that we might be ready when the end comes. There will come a point when there is no more time. On that day, just being in the company of other Christians will not do. All of the bridesmaids are together, but not all of them are saved. Relying on the faith of others will not do. The foolish ones cannot borrow oil from the wise. Having the right intentions will not do it. Our God of second chances is suddenly gone. God will close the door, he will lock the windows and pull down the shades. But Jesus does not tell us this parable so that we will get fidgety in our seats. Jesus does not wish to illustrate and cause you to question and live in fear. Jesus tells you this parable because he wants all people to be saved. He knows the reality of what comes for the fool who is not ready. Jesus has come to bring salvation to sinners and to begin the reign and rule of God on earth. The end is that final restoration of all things, and Jesus wants all to know the truth. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you with him now, rather than at the end. Because it's in him that all things will end, but it's also in him that all that is good and loved by God will be restored to new life. Jesus calls you to that new life, and he brings you in and tells you to be ready. Because life and time drags on and weakens our soul. We go through new twists and turns. Things that we never experienced disrupt our lives. The wait is long for Christ's return. And we may even lose hope that it's all real. But the end will come whether you want it or not. So now, during this seemingly long wait, how are we to be ready? What is the oil we need to keep with us? That's the question everyone wants to know. How can we be wise and be ready? Well, from the text, there's really little to work with. There's no clear indication for what the oil represents in the parable. I mean, many have tried, of course, to figure it out. Could it be doing good works? Could it be faith, repentance, church attendance? Those are fair. They certainly aren't bad ways to be ready. But I don't think it's so obvious or specific to one thing. What we can clearly tell from Jesus' parable is that the oil very likely represents whatever it takes for you to be ready to honor the bridegroom when he comes again in glory. This means that depending on our current situations and spiritual needs, those things could be different. If one is to be ready, certainly repentance is obviously needed to welcome Jesus Christ when he returns. So is true and humble faith. Perseverance and courage will be gifts we need to pray for. Awareness that the end will come and that we are Christ's own, called in our baptism to be God's workmen. In a time when we are surrounded by things that frighten, disconcert us, and unsettle us, perhaps we ask what can we do to be ready and to remain vigilant. Well, I think Luther kind of gave us a helpful quote. Well, actually, it's not actually his quote, but it's attributed to him. It was a German historian who attributed to Luther the saying, how can you be ready? And I think it captures perfectly what we ought to do as we wait for the end. This German pastor and historian was trying to comfort his parishioners and give them some direction and what to do. And so he told them to keep in mind what Luther told us, even though Luther never said it. If the world were to end tomorrow, I would plant an apple tree today to continue to interact with the world. Because as we remember that the end will come, we do not know when it will be, tomorrow or 500 years. The virgins were not too sure either. That's why the wise ones were ready. How can we remain ready. Well, I think we can plant some apple trees. Not literally, I mean, we could, I suppose. But we can continue to do what God has already given us to do. Maybe the world does feel like it's coming to an end with all the shifts and unfortunate changes that do not go our way. I don't think to be ready means we need to lock the doors and hold up in this building and sing praises until the Lord arrives. I think we need to look right in front of us to the little things. Hang on to what the Lord has given you and take care of it. Devote yourself to the tasks you are given, to the neighbor who needs the help you can give, to spend time with your family and remind them of God's love in Christ even when it seems there's no love around. Pray for the land and the people that God would preserve and bring about His blessings and love. Coming to church, receiving the gifts God gives so freely as He continually reminds you and builds you up in who you are as Jesus Christ's own. Remember the cross of Christ that reveals God's love for you. Come and receive forgiveness on a regular basis. Remember your baptism, receive Christ's meal and the supper. Maybe pray for those who are far off, that He would call them to hear His word and trust in Him and what He gives. Your vocations are the way you not only get things done, but they keep you ready for when the bridegroom arrives. There's no grand schemes or grand plans that we can do to be ready for Christ's return. We can't expect the day or the hour. Only God knows, and He will announce it on that day. But you can start here, right here, with what you're already doing, and work from there. And meanwhile, until we're notified that we no longer need to clock in, we get on with the tasks at hand wherever we find ourselves. As another German phrase I was kind of familiar with, we plow with the ox that God gives us. When the end does come, you'll have more than enough oil for your lamps. Trust that God will continue to supply you with all that you need. Don't let your trust waver. Jesus Christ will call you home. Just be ready when He comes. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue with singing the last four verses of I Know That My Redeemer Lives.
He lives to call upon.
As you are able, please stand. Lord, you are our help and deliverer, and to you we bring the prayers and petitions of your people, that you may grant us all things good and needful, and guard us against all things evil and harmful. Mighty God, we confess that you would rule over the darkness and shine your light over all the earth, that those from many nations may be united as one people through baptism and live together in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Everlasting King, grant us wisdom and courage that we may be prepared to receive Christ when he comes in his glory, that we may not be distracted by earthly glories or disappointments that fade and will come to an end. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Creator, this world belongs to you. We ask that you continue to sustain us in every good work, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may continue to live in peace and quietness. Assure us of your word, and continue to give us your promises, found in Jesus Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
God of the world, bless the governments of your world, and that our leaders would act justly and with mercy, that we may use wisely your gifts in this land. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
God of provision, you hold together your world. From the time a seed is planted and it grows into a full apple tree, you are intimately involved in its growth and sustainment. We ask, if it be your will, continue to sustain and bring about healing to those we love who are sick or ill. We especially remember today Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Fleth, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, and Esther. We know your involvement in creation, so we also ask that you continue to look after those who are unable to be with us in bodily presence. Assure them of your promises and use us as your instruments to encourage and lift them up with our prayers and love. We especially remember Barbara, Millie, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza, and Jim, and Alex. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, give us peace within the house of the Lord here on earth, that we may rejoice in the Lord's Supper and be sustained in the days of waiting, serving you in anticipation of Christ's return. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious God, prepare us to receive your Son when he comes again in glory, that you may open the hearts of those who have wandered away from the faith, that you would restore loved ones who are caught up in the ways of the world to turn back to you and receive your good and salutary gifts that you freely offer. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy God, bless our recently elected leaders. Guide them toward justice, and that we may support them in their endeavor to serve the neighbor and fulfill their will for the creation. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Our loving Father, hear and answer the prayers of your people, that we may be content with your answers, trusting in your fatherly will and wisdom to grant us all what we need and all that will profit our salvation and your creation. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, found at the bottom of page 8. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon the cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. mercy on us, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
On the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and broke it, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And after he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in the remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. As you're able, please stand. Now may this body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We continue by singing the Nunc Dimittis on page 13 of your worship folder.
Thank you.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that, of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
We sing our final hymn. You may be seated.